when you're going through a hard time, it's like, man, I'm never going to get over this. I'm never going to be an overcomer in this area. I'm always going to have this issue or that issue. I'm always going to be living with this trial. No, no, no. There's some beautiful words in the Bible about that. When things were going on, and oftentimes a trial or tribulation or whatever was going on, these little words, it came to pass. It didn't come to stay. It came to pass.
Welcome to Cross the Bridge with David McGee. You know, life as a Christian is not always easy. That battle between our spirit and the flesh is often hard. But learn today how you can take part in the resurrection power of Christ to live life to the fullest. Join us now for Receive, Believe, Be Led. Here's Pastor David.
Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Now, we're on verse 10, but I'm going to do something. I've been encouraging you folks to be reading Romans chapter 8, to read it several times while we're studying it. Read it once a week or once a day. Years ago, I did this, and it just really changed my relationship with the Lord and the way that I lived for Him. So I encourage you to do the same. But towards that, I'm actually going to go back to Romans chapter 8, verse 1, and we're going to read straight through verse 10, and we'll talk just a little bit about that. But before we do, let's pray. Lord, thank You. Thank You for Your word. I ask, Lord, that You would bless the reading of it, bless the studying of it. And Lord, bless the application as we seek to do the things that we learn here today. Lord, thank You for preserving this word, that we might know a better way to live and how to follow You. Lord, it's not a maze. You hadn't left us clueless. You've given us this book, and You've given us Your Holy Spirit that You might guide us through these things. So Lord, we're thankful. And Lord, we ask that You would open our hearts to Your word and open Your word to our hearts in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. So let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. Now, when it uses flesh, it's not talking about literally your flesh. It's talking about your old human nature, your sinful and selfish desires. Let's read on verse 4. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh or old nature, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity or at war against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. In verse 10, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Incredible, incredible biblical truths. And you may have noticed, if you've been with us for a while, that we're kind of slowing up here in chapter 8. It's because there's so much here that is really theologically, spiritually deep, and such great food for us spiritually. And as I was going through looking at different commentaries and stuff, I happened to notice that some chapters they would, you know, cover in 8, 10, 12 pages, and then, you know, they get to this chapter and there's like 30 or 35 pages. And so there's just a depth of stuff in here. So we're going to continue to kind of go slow through this chapter because there is so much practical spiritual information, if you will. And so Paul is saying in these verses that, you know, there's the wrong way, there's the right way, if you will. And really, you know, the Bible talks about in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created the light and the darkness. And the rest of the book is really about how you can figure out how to walk in the light and not be in the darkness. So Paul is saying, you know, live to this new nature, this Holy Spirit, yield to it. And as you yield to the Holy Spirit, you should be bearing fruit. Understand, this is a biblical concept. Jesus talks about, the Word of God talks about, we should be bearing fruit as believers. And now I didn't say that we should be fruits as believers. I said we should be bearing fruits. I'm not talking about getting wacky and getting weird and doing weird things. I'm talking about bearing fruit. Bearing fruit. It's not like there's a group of Christians. Somehow we think, well, there's a group of Christians that bears fruit, and then there's a group that doesn't. Not according to the Word. According to the Word, all those who are following Jesus are bearing fruit. 2 Corinthians 13:5, it says, examine yourselves to see if your faith is really genuine. Test yourselves. If you cannot tell that Jesus Christ is among you, it means you have failed the test. Strong words, but genuine faith produces genuine fruit. The Bible has pretty strong words about what we can and can't do. 2 Samuel 22:30, speaking to the Lord, says, in your strength, I can crush an army. And with my God, I can scale any wall. But how often we say, well, I can't. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't do this. I can't do that. And you know, I can't quit this. I can't go to church. I can't tell people about Jesus. I can't invite somebody to church. I can't. Spiritually speaking, if you know Jesus as your Savior, it's not I can't. Let's be honest. It's I won't. I won't tell people about Jesus. I won't invite them to church. I won't stop doing this or start doing this. It's not I can't. Because according to the Word of God, you can do anything. You can do all things. Philippians 4:13 says this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know what? That little word, all, it's very interesting in the Greek. You know what it means in the Greek? It means all. That's right. It doesn't mean some of the time. It doesn't mean part of the time. It means all the time. All things. All things. So when we say I can't do this, what we really mean is I won't do this. And sometimes I can't is good. If you're talking about doing something bad, you should say, I can't do that. I'm a believer. I'm a follower of Jesus. As far as doing something good, you can't really use I can't. Life lesson here, I can live for God. I can live for God. It doesn't matter what's gone on in the past. Doesn't matter what's going on today. I can live for God. His Spirit will give me the strength I need to do things for Him and for others. It's an amazing thing as we look at lives and see people who have yielded to the Holy Spirit. We see this in their life, that they're living for the Lord and their lives are bearing incredible fruit. And we get in the middle of stuff and we think, well, I can't get out of this. And no. Friend, a lot of times, you know, we get in a trial or a tribulation or kind of get stuck in a rut. Get out of the rut. Don't live in the rut. Only difference between a rut and a grave is the length and the depth of the hole. The Lord wants us to get us out of those ruts to depend upon Him. And sometimes I understand when you're going through a hard time, it's like, man, I'm never going to get over this. I'm never going to be an overcomer in this area. I'm always going to have this issue or that issue. I'm always going to be living with this trial. No. There's some beautiful words in the Bible about that. When things were going on, and oftentimes a trial or tribulation or whatever was going on, these little words, it came to pass. When the Bible says it came to pass, you know what it's saying? It didn't come to stay. It came to pass. It's here and it's going to be gone. The trials you have today will not be the trials you have tomorrow. As a matter of fact, one day, friend, if you know Jesus as your Savior, trials no more. That's a lot to look forward to, isn't it? Trials no more. It came to pass. Remember that. Understand. And just so we're clear, we've talked about the grace of God and now we're talking about this call to follow Him. Let me be very clear. When you come to Jesus to ask Him to forgive you of your sins, that is totally, absolutely grace. What I mean by that is you don't earn it. You don't deserve it. But God is willing to give it to you. Okay? So that's what Jesus does for you. But that begins a process of Jesus working in you. And so that process of sanctification is one word we use, or you're getting cleaned up in your work or in your life, or beginning to follow God more passionately. We can use a lot of phrases for it, but the important thing is it going on in your life? And it should be. Sometimes I'll talk to somebody and they, you know, and it concerns me. Because I'll talk to somebody, hey man, you know, do you know the Lord as your Savior? Oh yeah, did that years ago. Oh really, where do you go to church? I don't go to church. Well, I mean, do you give to a church? No, I don't give to a church. Well, I mean, are you living for the Lord? Not really living for the Lord. And that concerns me when somebody says those things and they act like they're okay with it. That disturbs me. Forget issues of eternal security and on all these issues. No. That person should not feel confident in their sin. They should be concerned that they're not bearing fruit, because if you're not bearing fruit, you're not following Jesus. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branch. If you're in me, you're bearing fruit. It concerns me, because understand, Jesus wants to do something incredible inside of us. He wants us to be more like him. And he gives us his Holy Spirit that we can be more like him. And so we should, within reason, begin to look around our lives and go, okay, I'm more like him here, I'm more like him there.
In John chapter 8, Jesus tells his followers, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This desire to see others set free has led pastor and teacher David McGee on a mission to teach others the important truths of Scripture.
These are timeless truths. We're talking about people dealing with loneliness, lust, selfishness, all these things that we're still dealing with.
It was this reason that David selected seven of his favorite teachings to share with you. David McGee's Select Seven features teachings on finding your purpose in life, how to cope with pain and suffering, dealing with temptations, and more. Each teaching is based on solid biblical study and will help set you free to experience the abundant life in Jesus Christ. The Select 7 audio series is available to you for a gift of any amount to Cross the Bridge. To order, visit crossthebridge.com or call our friendly representatives at 877-458-5508. Get to know God's Word better and see your life changed with this exciting series from Cross the Bridge. Now let's return to our study.
Verse 11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. What an awesome verse. The Spirit of him, notice capital H, talking about God, the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. He'll give life to your mortal body. Do you understand what this is saying? Simply put, God will live through you. God will live through you. God wants to live through you and in you. Think about that next time you're tempted to say, I can't. God is living in you. God is living through you. The life lesson here, you have resurrection power available to you to overcome sin in your life. You have resurrection power available to you to overcome sin in your life. It's an amazing thing. God says, hey, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to you to live a victorious life. You don't have to hate. You don't have to be angry. You don't have to be hurtful. You don't have to be bitter. You can live a life of love and joy and peace. Now, you may choose to not do what's right, but God has given you the opportunity, the ability, to the power to do what's right. He did it with you this morning. How do I know that? You're here. There was a moment this morning when you were asleep. The alarm clock went off, or dog jumped on the bed, or whatever happens in the morning at your house. And your thought was, I'm going to go to church. And then that was followed by another thought, wasn't it? I ain't going to church. I'm tired. There's football on today. Some of you are like, don't. How do you know me? That's what happens. I mean, there's this good thing and then there's this not so good thing. Well, today you listen to the Holy Spirit. You yielded to the Holy Spirit to come into this place. That's an awesome thing. That's a great step. And friend, you know, maybe you should go, well, you know, it's not that such a big deal, is it? It's absolutely a big deal. It's absolutely a big deal. Now, I no longer decide on Sunday morning if I'm coming to church or not. That should comfort you, right? But no, I mean, long ago as a believer, I saw that there was a benefit to attending church in my life, that I would yield to the Spirit and I would go to church. It didn't matter if I met people I didn't like who were mean, spiteful, bitter, unthankful, whatever. Bible says those people are going to exist. They're always going to exist. They're not going to exist in heaven. I'm not saying they're not going to heaven. I'm just saying they're not going to be like that in heaven. And I made a commitment. I'm going to church. See, if you wait till Sunday morning to decide if you're going to church or not, there's going to be a lot of days you don't make it here. Why? Because you're waiting till the last minute to make a decision. And you know, when you're laying in bed and looking up at the ceiling and on cold mornings and you got that comforter all, you can think of a lot of reasons not to go to church, can't you? And then a lot of times, you know what happened? And I noticed this is interesting to me. As a young believer going to church, the days there was a real battle to get there were the days that were really good. And the days, you know, on the way to church, you know, there'd be, you know, family, you know, marriage, you know, yelling, screaming, and hollering, and arguing, and I'd just sit there and be quietly driving. And I can't. But, you know, and then it's like, you know, and there's part of you as a young believer, you're like, you know, I'm turning around. I'm going home. But more times than not, you didn't yield to that. You yielded to the Spirit. See, and if this is your first time here, I'm so thankful you're here. That was a big thing, especially depending upon you know your church experiences and stuff, and where you've been, and maybe you've been beaten up by churches, or maybe you were raised in a traditional church, and you know you drove past the building, you were like, well, that's not it. So that's like, what is that? A warehouse? There's no steeple. There's no stained glass. Can't be a church. Now, maybe you're going, man, you are making like a huge deal out of the fact that I made it through the doors. I absolutely am. I am. Because I know what some of you had to overcome to be here. Maybe you've been hurt. Maybe you've been wounded. And maybe you're sitting there going, well, really, is it a big deal? Yeah, it's a huge deal. I mean, let me tell you something. As a young believer, maybe I'd watched too many movies or something. I don't know. But as a young believer, I thought temptation would take this form, you know, of falling away from the Lord or away from church or away from fellowship. You know, I thought that it was going to, that one dark night, the devil was going to pull up in a stretch limousine, open the back door, smoke would roll out. Come on in, David, we're going for a ride. Now, I never saw that limousine pull up, so I thought, I'm doing good. But meanwhile, these small things, not going to church, not having my devotion, not reading the word, not praying as much. The ground around my feet was eroding. And it was only a question of time. Why? Because I neglected the small things. We think of our Christian life as these huge things, and sometimes they are, but it's more made up of these small things that sometimes we might think are insignificant and inconsequential, but they're huge. Coming to church. There's a reason the enemy of your soul doesn't want you to come to church. There's a reason he wants to run you out when you go. Because it's productive spiritually. And it takes a commitment. You know, if there's a saying that if you aim at nothing, you'll probably hit it. And I think we need to understand spiritually, the same is true. If you have no spiritual commitment, no commitment to a church, no commitment to the Lord, no commitment to serve him or to give or do anything, you'll probably hit that mark. But we need to make a commitment to the Lord to live for him, to live a changed life and see what God will do through us. Look at verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. And again, I point out when it says flesh, it's talking about old nature, selfish nature, sin nature. In other words, let me paraphrase. You don't owe your sin life anything. You don't owe it anything. But if you've asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins, you are indebted to him. The Bible points out that in that divine transaction that you were bought with a price, as if you were up on the auction block. And Jesus, and the Bible says, not with silver or gold, not with the blood of bulls or sheep, not with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of the Son of God is what you were purchased with. So now you are indebted to that. You're indebted to God. You can't say, well, I don't owe God anything. Well, apparently you do. It's interesting to me that when people say, well, I want what I deserve. I just have to smile when somebody says that. You know why? I don't want what I deserve. I know what I deserve. I deserve to be condemned. I stand guilty because of my sins. I don't want what I deserve. I deserve cursings and destruction. And yet, God says, if you'll come to me, I'll put blessings on you. I will bless you. I will fill your life with joy. You'll be forgiven. No, friend, I don't want what I deserve. I want God's mercy. Because when I come into contact with God's grace and God's mercy, see, the number one thing that keeps you living from the Lord is the fact that you've messed up in the past, right? I mean, you think, well, why, I can't live for the Lord because I did this and that and the other. And God says, dealt with it. Come to me. Your past can be pardoned. And so here's the next life lesson. The grace of God sets us free to do all we can to live for him. Because, friend, again, if you've entered that divine transaction, when I use that phrase, what I mean is when you come to Jesus and you ask him to forgive you of your sins, he doesn't owe that to you. You haven't earned it. He's willing to give that to you. And there's a divine transaction that happens. You say, Jesus, I believe you died for me. Please forgive me of my sins. I'm sorry. Help me to live for you. And God does that. That's a divine transaction. And now the grace of God so freely given out to you leaves you indebted to the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, getting into empty religious ritual and doing something because you just think it's the thing to do. But friend, let's understand. There's going to be a lot of days where you're like, man, and some of you shared this and it's so encouraging because you go, I'm excited to go to church. I know this guy. But there are going to be those days when you don't feel like being here. And it's so important to you to press in, press through, yield to the Holy Spirit, and show up anyway. Worship is another great example. You may not feel like worshiping some mornings. And see, it begins to erode and fall apart because you things are going on and you don't feel like worshiping and you come in here and one of the things that happens in that moment is you just begin to tear everything and everybody down and apart. You know, you come in here, you don't feel like worshiping, so it's like, well, I don't like that song. That's not my favorite song. What's up with the smoke? What's going on with the lights? The music's too loud. Why won't they play my favorite songs every week? But what's really going on is you don't feel like worshiping. And you're looking around to find excuses not to worship. I've done it. I've said those very things. But gang, I can worship to a pipe organ. I can worship to an out-of-tune singer with an out-of-tune guitar. Why? Because God, whether we feel like it or not, is always worthy of our worship. So sometimes we give it to him because he's worthy. And we should always give it to him because he's worthy. But sometimes we will feel like it. Sometimes in those moments of worship, you just get, it's like a little glimpse of heaven, isn't it?
Friend, do you know for sure that your sins have been forgiven? You can know right now. I want to lead you in a short, simple prayer, simply telling God you're sorry and asking him to help you to live for him. Please pray this prayer with me out loud right now. Dear Jesus, I believe you died for me that I could be forgiven. And I believe you were raised from the dead that I could have a new life. And I've done wrong things. I have sinned. And I'm sorry. Please forgive me of all those things. Please give me the power to live for you all of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, according to the Bible, you've been forgiven, you've been born again. Jesus said he would not turn anybody away who comes to him, and he came for those people who knew they needed forgiveness, those who were sick, not the righteous. So congratulations, friend, you just made the greatest decision that you will ever make. God bless you.
If you've prayed this prayer with Pastor David, receiving Jesus Christ for the first time, or rededicating your life to the Lord, please call and let us know. We want to send you our exclusive First Steps package for free. This package will help you grow in your new life. Receive your First Steps package by calling 877-458-5508. That's 877-458-5508. Or visit us online at crossthebridge.com. When you call, let our call team representative know where you heard about our broadcast. Cross the Bridge with David McGee is a ministry dedicated to sharing the whole Bible with the whole world. If you've been blessed by Cross the Bridge, consider financially supporting this ministry. Your gift will be used to reach more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, while also supplying resources to new believers. To give, simply call 877-458-5508 or visit us online at crossthebridge.com and click on the donate button. Once there, you can choose to give a one-time gift or become a Bridge Builder monthly supporter. Also, while visiting crossabridge.com, make sure to sign up for Pastor David's free email devotional, as well as browse through our many online resources. The Apostle Paul laid the foundation for the New Testament church, and yet few of us in the church today really understand the events and places that shaped this remarkable man. But now, pastor and Bible teacher David McGee has created the Footsteps of Paul Tour through the heart of the ancient world. You'll be a part of a breathtaking 3-day tour of the famous Greek islands. Also, during the tour, David McGee will be opening the Bible to teach on Mars Hill, the very place in Athens Paul taught about the unknown God. We'll go up to the Acropolis and visit the Parthenon. Also, we'll visit Patmos, the place where John wrote the book of Revelation. We'll continue to Ephesus in Turkey, sharing the history, stories, and reality of these historic places that changed the future of the church. Plus, be a part of an actual television production as we film parts of the tour for our national TV program, Cross the Bridge. The Footsteps of Paul Tour with pastor and Bible teacher David McGee. Combine your vacation with an in-depth experience in the reality of God's Word. For more information, visit crossthebridge.com or call us at 877-458-5508. That's 877-458-5508. Contact us today, because space is limited and this tour will fill up fast. One of the most important parts of growing in Christ is being in fellowship at a local church. But what happens on those times you're sick or traveling? Simply log on to crossthebridge.com and click the live stream button, and you'll instantly be streaming from David McGee's home church, The Bridge. Catch every life lesson and scripture reference as you take part in hearing the Word of God from anywhere in the world. Pastor David McGee teaches live online, Sunday mornings at 9 and 11:15. Watch this week at crossthebridge.com. Thanks for listening to Cross the Bridge with David McGee. Join us again next time and invite your family and friends to listen as together we cross the bridge.